month ago, Jimmy asked me if I'd preach, and I'll take every bone he's going to give me for doing that. I just love preaching. I was then contemplating on what I was going to preach, and I normally don't plan that far ahead, but God told me to preach on this, and I said, no, I'm going to do this and that. This just wouldn't come together, so I finally got off my high horse, said, okay, God, I'll preach it. I want you to answer one question tonight, and that's, how are you running? How are you running? Now, sometimes we get tired in the race. Sometimes we get sidelined. Sometimes we are done with a race and we're in between them. But I looked up how many different races, just track races, there are. And there is, if I can get to the right page. Don't worry, the print's big. I talk quicker than what I read. There's the 100, 200, and 400 meter dash. There's 800, 1600, 3200, 1000, 2000 middle length race. There's the 5000, 10000, 26 mile marathon. There's the 15 kilometer cross country, 300 meter course decathlons, walking races, and relay races. That's a bunch of different kind of races. And that's not including anything vehicle wise. And the reason I say that, because that's what this is talking about when we get into our passage here. We are all running. We are all in the race. We're all on the race team, whatever you want to call it. And I don't care how old you are. You say, well, I'm retired. That means you've got more time to run for God than you ever did before. You say, well, my health's not real good. You still can run the race. None of us are excluded. Starting chapter 11, and chapter 11 is our Hebrews, is the chapter of champions of faith. The ones that, have, because of faith, they were able to do some amazing things. And I'm going to go read all through them. I'm going to start in verse 32. I get on the right page. It says, and what shall I say more? The reader of Hebrews was talking about all them. He says, you know, I ain't got time to write everything. What should I say more? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel. And the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That all sounds great. Wouldn't you want to be known for one of them that's done that? But you know, if we never get in the race, we are never going to do any of that. Because we got to remember, this isn't just what the writer of Hebrews is saying about these people. This is what God is saying about these people. So if he's writing about our day, where would you be in that? Where would I be in that? Would I be one of them that has done that, that has conquered kingdoms, that have brought righteousness, that obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent, and turned to fight the armies of aliens? Oh man, that is just awesome. But again, if we never get into the race. Now there's some people, you're not even on the team because you're not saved. You're not a believer in Jesus Christ. You never come to the point where you've confessed your sins, accepted the Lord as Savior, repented from them, and trusted Him. You're not even on the team. You're still a spectator. But man, to be on the team. Now, sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it's hard. I don't know about y'all, but when I was in school, I hated tests. I didn't mind doing the classes except history, but I hated tests because I'm not a studier. Now, if I read it right before the test and I can go and take it, and I'll do pretty good. But I didn't like tests because studying meant work, and I didn't want to put in the effort. You know, the Christian walk is just like a test. We go through lessons. But when you go through the lessons, there has to be a test. Now, I had a professor at Clear Creek that he hated giving tests. And when he said that, we all got excited. He said, but I'm still going to give them. He said, I hate them because if you flunked the test, that means I didn't prepare the material enough or teach it well enough for you to get it. So what I'm going to do is every test is going to be an open book test. So if you flunked that class, you were dumber than a bag of hammers, okay? I mean, seriously, if you cannot read the book and answer the question, you needed some help. But man, God gives us tests. James tells us to count it all joy when we have tests. I think James is a little kooky when he said that. Because the kind of tests he's talking about are the kind of tests these people went through. But it was a test of their faith. Was their problem bigger than their God? Is your problem bigger than your God? Because if you are in the race, you've had problems. Plain and simple. You've run against other people. But it doesn't just, that's the good part of this class. Now there's some people, they audit the class. They get saved, they come to Sunday school maybe, they'll tithe, they'll come to fellowship meals, they'll be a little bit involved, but they really aren't in the race because they don't want to take the chance of losing. So they audit the class. They don't take the tests. And it's a shame because the Bible says one day that when we stand before Jesus Christ, everything that we've done for him is going to be tried by fire. And what comes out, we are going to lay at his feet. I don't want to lay nothing. And I don't want to lay a bunch of ashes. I want to be in the race to be in the race. But if we're in the race to be in the race, not only will we do all that stuff that I've mentioned, but then we get to verse 36. It says, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in the sun. They were sawed into two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, belonging destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, that's a good job description of why you want to come and join this team. But on the other hand, what does the Bible say? If we die for his sake, we don't have to worry about that stuff, folks. Now, the mockings and stuff, maybe. We don't live in a land where we can't worship God, where we can't tell others about him. Yet we don't. Because we don't want to get in the race. We don't want to run that hard. Now, y'all can look at me. I was never a runner. Never. And when I had an infection in my leg, my runner broke. If you see me running, it's a bad thing behind me. But man, I hope my faith stays strong. And that's what the race is about. It ain't about the competition. Some of that stuff does happen to people. If y'all ever met Pastor Michael from Africa, the churches that he had planted, man, his people were getting burned inside their building. And when they tried to get out, they were thrown back in. We ain't gonna face that. So why won't we share Jesus? Why won't we encourage others to get in the faith? That is our job. But man, a person will leave church, and you know what we'll do? Well, they're gone. We don't go after them. I've been in churches before where the pastor said, well, if you leave, you leave. It's okay with me. I've been in church one time where I've heard the pastor say, if you don't like it here, I'll hold the door while you leave. We need people in the race, folks. And if you're saved, let me tell you, you're on the team. How are you running? Now, I admit sometimes I don't run well. All of us have been there. But the good thing about God is we can ask him to forgive us, and he does. We ask him to strengthen us, and he does. We can ask him to give us back in the game, and he does. But he's not going to force us. We can see the qualifications of this and what we're going to stand, what we have a possibility of standing against. We say, God, I can't do it. You know what? We can't. That's the good thing about him. He can through us. But we got to be willing. I love the first part of verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. These people were tormented and killed and put in prison and everything. And God says, because of what they went through, this world is not worthy of them. And someone doesn't say hi to us in church, we get offended and quit going. We got to stay in the race. Look around you, folks. Y'all know of people who ought to be here, who aren't and haven't been. We need them in the race. You know, the Bible says, the New Testament says that God has added to the church daily as He saw fit. You know what that means? Each and every one of us are here in this church because He saw fit to put us here. You ain't here because you felt comfortable. You ain't here because you like the music. You ain't here because you like the preaching. You ain't here because you like so-and-so. You ain't here for any other reason except God saw fit to put you here. How are you running? How are you running? So where do you get that in here? Well, we're getting there because we separate these in verses and chapters and stuff, but they were written as a whole thing. You look at verse chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we've got examples of how to stay in the race. All Daniel had to do was pray and trust God that He would shut the mouths of lions, and guess what He did? Because the next morning, when the other guys were thrown in there, them lions ate them boys up. So it wasn't that the lions weren't hungry. David had faith there was something for him to do. And David was about doing it. Not David, but Daniel. David ripped the mouth of a bear and a lion open to save a lamb. As a teenager. What are we doing as adults? I'm not saying we're doing nothing. I'm trying to encourage us. Running's hard. I'm here to tell you, running the walk of faith is even harder. Because we don't like opposition. Well, folks, they're not opposing us. They're opposing Him. And if you read the back of the book, we win. But we walk around defeated. I tell you, as a pastor, I'm discouraged. I don't know if Jim is, and I am. Because I've been in different churches. Churches I've seen full. That are half empty. Because people just ain't there no more. And it's not that them people are going to other churches either. They're not going anywhere. They've dropped out of the race. We need them. We need them. How you running? It says, so we're compassed so great a crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. I had a professor at Clear Creek, Dr. Diddy, when he ran track in high school, he said his dad ordered a special pair of shoes that they only weighed 1 ounce apiece. And the whole purpose was to get a little bit lighter, to get a little bit faster. What are we doing to prepare to run like that? Are we getting off every... Now, that's talking about bad things. It might not be bad things. But what's holding us back from serving God like we ought to? That's a weight. Else has put it off. Sometimes we carry around so much, and it could be so much good. We can do a lot of good, but are we doing the best? Are we doing what He's called us to do? Are we witnessing to our neighbors? Do our neighbors even know we go to church? I pastored in Kentucky, and there's one of my deacons. He evidently didn't have a good name in the area because my wife was talking to somebody, and she mentioned his name. And he said, he's a deacon? And she said, yeah. He said, I didn't even know he went to church. And folks, I'm talking a small community where the mailman had 800 deliveries. How small Deanfield, Kentucky was. And that guy was born and raised in that town. And this guy knew him from childhood, did not know he went to church. I'm here to tell you, it's not a good run. How are we running? We've got example after example from Genesis clear up to Romans on people who, because of their faith, had accomplished much. But we don't want to take the test. Sometimes the tests are, sometimes they're hard. But you know, when we pass them, we can go on to the next lesson. Put off every weight and sin which so easily besets us. That means that so easily trips you up. You know, you can go running, and it don't take but a little piece of string to trip you. It don't take much. The Bible says put it off. Jim, I don't know if y'all were here Sunday. I was. Jimmy tore us up. On the whole armor of God. That's how we get tripped up, because we don't put it on. We fight defenseless. That's why we quit. A month ago, I was told to preach this. I don't know how long ago Jimmy was supposed to preach Sunday. But God kind of fit them together. Because you're at a race, you don't put on coats and sweatpants and wear boots and put on big old toboggan and weigh yourself down to run a race. Them runners wear as little as they have to. And when they first started, they run naked. So there's no weight. How are we running? Are we putting off the things that are causing us not to be able to run so well? Now, like verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the prime example of faith because he knew he was going to the cross. And even though the night before he was arrested, he said, Father, I pray this cup could go for me, but if not, your will, not mine. So he willingly went, knowing the anguish he was going to go through for us. Just so we can go to his heaven. And he ran his race well. You know, it's easier to die for Christ than it is to live for Christ. Because dying is just one last stand of faith. And yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Go ahead and kill me. Because I'm going to heaven. That's a plus. But yet we won't live for him. Why? Why won't we get out of our shells? If that's easy for you, you're an extrovert, not by nature. By nature, I'm one of the most shy people you've ever met. We got to get out of that shell. We got to get out of that me attitude. Yep, I'm going to heaven. I'm good. It's not what that book teaches. That book teaches buy a bus to take as many as you can with you. It says go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. How are we running? How many of y'all know the original reason Sunday night services ever started? Anybody? Huh? Nope. D.L. Moody. Because there were so many other people that went to other churches that wanted to hear him preach, but they didn't want to leave their church. So he started Sunday evening services so that everybody could come and hear the gospel. Well, we won't even go to the person that lives next door to us. Folks, I've been there. Sam Hardy, he worked with the Billy Graham Evangelist Association when they came here. And he talked to us one day about missing opportunities. And he said he had missed one because he had had a neighbor that was next door to him, and he knew he needed to share the gospel with him, and he kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And then one day he got up and looked over, and he noticed the next door neighbor's house was empty. He had moved during the night, and nobody knew why. He said, I let God down because I didn't share the gospel. I missed that opportunity. And man, that nailed me to the wall. So I started looking for opportunities. I had a neighbor next door. Her lawnmower broke down. She's a single lady. I mowed her grass one day. And she come out and she's asking my little brother who's with me. She said, what's he doing? He's mowing your grass. She said, how much can I pay him? So he comes to me because he's a lot younger than me, and he calls me Dad. He said, Dad, she wants to know how much you charge. I said, it's nothing. And then she hung up her phone and put it down, and she came out and talked to me. She goes, so why are you mowing my grass? I said, I'm mowing your grass to find out this. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, yes, I am. I said, so you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've forgiven, asked forgiveness of your sins and repented from them. She said, yes, sir. I said, that's the whole reason I'm mowing your grass. I'm not going to miss an opportunity to share Christ. I'm not saying that to puff me up, because that was one of the hardest things for me to do, even as a preacher. And that's my job, in a sense. Are we missing opportunities? How are we running? But not only does it say that, but look at this. Because I mentioned all the different races. Look at this. I missed it. I'm sorry. I've got to go back up to verse 1. So lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, this is where we mess up. We're going through life and things are tough, and we say, well, look at so-and-so. He ain't doing anything. Oh, Phil, he don't do nothing but sit around all day. Now, if y'all think that, y'all crazy. Or look at Jeremy. He doesn't do nothing but come to church and sit on the front pew. Problem is, you're not supposed to worry about their race. Because they might be running a dash. You might be running a marathon. Jimmy's running a decathlon, in case y'all wonder. I ain't supposed to worry about Jimmy. I'm supposed to let him run his race. Now, if he needs encouragement, I'm supposed to be there encouraging. I'm not running his race. I got to run my race. But we worry about that. When I was a youth pastor, I taught this lesson. One kid came up to me and said, well, I might be doing this, but so-and-so's doing that. Like, my sin's not as bad as his sin. Verse 1 say that? And it says, put off the weight so he besets you. Well, you're supposed to confess somebody else's sin. You're supposed to worry about you. And I'm supposed to worry about me. And I'm supposed to make things sure things are right between me and God. You're supposed to make things sure things are right between you and God. And we're supposed to race and run the race that's set before us. For this reason, you can't run my race. I can't run your race. I might have just got done with a 200-meter race, and you might be in a 5,000-meter race. Lots of luck, George. I'll cheer you on. But man, we worry about somebody else. Or they're doing good in their race. And we're saying, why can't I do good? Well, what weight is holding you back? What sin is holding you back? Only you can answer that. But how are you running? Goes on in verse 2 and it says, after looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy is that? Jesus not only knows the end of the story, he wrote it. The joy is we are going to be with him in his heaven. And he willingly went to that cross. To be beaten and battered that his beard pulled out of his face. To literally have his innards on his outers. They ripped him apart. Willingly. So you and me can be forgiven our sins and go to his heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I can do that for us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And sometimes I can't get a grasp of this. And we complain about our race. We say it's too hot or it's too cold or it's raining. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah? That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That verse does not say no weapon is going to be formed against you. What is the purpose of having the whole armor of faith if ain't nothing going to be shot at you? But we get up and we don't put it on. You know, that's intentional. We don't put it on. And we go out, and according to what Jimmy preached Sunday, it's to protect us from the fiery darts that are coming at us. So we're not only having weapons formed against us, there's arrows being shot at us. And we wonder why life is hard. Because we get in the race unprepared. Folks, we serve a good God. Because he gives us what we need for our race. We just refuse sometimes to put it on. The Bible says that the world's going to hate us because it hated him. And we say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, first of all, we're not good. Except for his righteousness. How are we running? Despising the shame, because there was shame with the cross, and it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? Because he was faithful to the end of his race. The end of his race was the cross. That was the end of the rope. That's what crossed that line he won. If you're still here, guess what? Your race ain't over. Now here, just sometimes we get sidelined in the race. I get that. There's many times I've been sidelined. But we don't got to stay there. And if Satan hasn't been at you, let me tell you, you're not in the race. I've got this saying, and I've used it several times. You know, everybody on the team dresses for the day on football. Every one of them. But you know what? There's some of them boys, they leave that game just as clean as they came into it because they sit the bench. They don't get tackles. They don't get sweat because they don't run. I've been preaching for 30 years. I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old. About 45 years, something like that. I've seen a lot of people who are content with being bench warmers. God don't need them. He loves them. But he did not save us to be a bench warmer. He saved us to get in the race. He saved us to try our faith so we can encourage others. Because if I am the same place I am today that I was 45 years ago, guess what? I ain't been in the race. My faith ain't been tested. I've not accomplished anything for our God. But you know what? There's people that it might have been a different race. But because of what God's brought me through, I can encourage others. And what he's brought you through, you can encourage others. Jeremy's had some serious health issues. He can help other people that come through serious health issues. Jeremy's house burned down. He can comfort somebody whose house is burned down. He's been through that. My wife's been through cancer. She can encourage people who've been through cancer. Whatever you've been through, and I don't know y'all, so I can't share it with people. I know your testimony. I've been through, so I had a leg infection one time that if I'd have waited another 4 hours, it'd have killed me. had three surgeries 3 days in a row until they got fresh flesh. I learned how God is the sustainer of life. My son at 16 years old had a blood clot in his femoral artery, and they were treating him for an Achilles tendon pulled, and the treatment for that could have caused that artery to go to his heart and kill him at 16. We didn't know it until five, six months later. God kept him. And that doctor, when he went in, doctor said, "You'll be in here until Saturday." He said, "How about Friday?" He said, "No, you'll be in until Saturday." He said, "Well, I've got a gig on Saturday night, so I'm going to get out Friday." Doctor said, "We'll see." He said, "Well, I'll get out Friday and we'll give God the extra point." Guess what day he got out on? Friday. Because of his faith. Not because he's great. Because of his faith. Doctor also said that blood clot will never go anywhere because how long it's been there. Guess what? It ain't there anymore. It's not because Billy's so great. Our God is. And we went back for several things to the doctor for several blood things and stuff like that. And the blood doctor would get interns that would come in. And he said, "Now, since we talked about his health issues, now let me tell you about Billy's faith in his God." Folks, I ain't saying this to puff him up. I know his story. When your 16-year-old gets put in the hospital in that kind of shape, and his life is literally on the line, and he says, "If I die, don't worry about me. You'll know where I'm at." People, that's faith. And that's faith that he didn't get from me. He got it because of what God has done for him. How are you running? How are you running? Folks, when Joshua and Caleb took the promised land, they were in their 80s. And I believe Caleb said, "I am stronger today than I was 40 years ago when we were supposed to take it." How are you running? Father God, we love you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to share your word. Lord, I pray to encourage people. I pray it challenges us. I thank you for hitting me with it first to make me ask myself this question, how am I running? Father, I pray you use this time of invitation just so people respond to you as you see fit. God, I ask this in Jesus' most holy and awesome name. Amen.